Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I grew up in the Bay Area. I worked at a couple of the small Bay Area media outlets early in my career, eventually at the Mercury News covering the NFL. I used to see this baby-faced kid in the press box. I had no idea who he was. Seemed to know everybody. It was young Roxy Bernstein, who at age 23, I think, was in the press box in one way or another in the Bay Area. You've seen him on the Pac-12 Network. He's been a play-by-play installment at a variety of outlets. Cal grad himself, Roxy Bernstein, joining us now. Hey, man, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the work you've done over the years.
John, I appreciate that. Thanks so much. And it was actually younger than 23 when I started. I was in college. I was probably 20 or 21 when I started finding my way into press boxes and getting some gigs and working. But I remember those days fondly, and luckily, I've been able to make myself a career out of this business.
In my mind, you were probably that kid who was in his living room annoying his parents by doing play-by-play with the sound off while he watched a game. How close am I?
You're spot on. You're so dead on. Whether it was in a tape recorder, I knew this is what I wanted to do. And I had to find a way to carve out a niche for myself, and I just was fascinated with this medium from a very young age, and I was determined to make this my career, and luckily, it's been a nice ride for me so far.
What'd your parents think when you're going to Cal, all right? That's not easy to get into Cal. Like, and, you know, you're probably looking around. Did your parents support the idea, Roxy, of you being a play-by-play broadcaster, knowing that you had this Cal education that was forming?
They were absolutely 100% on board with it. My dad was a huge sports fan, John, and so he was the one that really indoctrinated me into sports. He had season tickets, 49ers, Warriors as a kid. I'd go to Cal games as a kid. I'd even go to Stanford games occasionally. But I was just fascinated with being at events and being at games, and that's what's kind of made this pandemic a lot harder to deal with, because, as you know, I've been calling a lot of games from my house, and you miss the environment. Even though I've been in empty buildings calling games, you still feel like you're a part of the action, where I'm so detached. Like, for example, I'm doing a baseball game tomorrow from my house. I'm doing the Brewers and the Dodgers, and I'm sitting in my office at home, and this is where I'm going to be calling the game from tomorrow. And it beats the alternative, right? Because I'm still working. But it's just not the same. It really isn't.
Talking to Roxy Bernstein, you have seen him in a variety of places, from ESPN to Oakland A's games, Pac-12 Network. You're versatile. You can do a college football game. You can do a Major League Baseball game. I know you've got an illustrious career in the minor leagues in baseball. Which sport do you like or enjoy calling a game the most?
Whatever paying me that day, John. I got two kids, right? You can ask me, do I like my son or like my daughter more? Well, I love them the same. So maybe on a day or two, I might be frustrated with one, so I might gravitate toward the other. But I love sports, and I love the competition. And whether it's college football or college basketball, Major League Baseball, I've done the National Hockey League. Whatever it is, I love sports. I love being at games. I love the potential for seeing something I have never seen before. And sometimes I never even dreamed I could see something that was going to be taking place. And I get a thrill every time I'm in a building in broadcasting a game, regardless of the sport, regardless of the venue. It's just the rush that you get. And I throw everything I've got into every broadcast that I possibly can. And I just, because I'm just enamored with it, and I treat every broadcast like it might be my last one, to be honest with you.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers became kind of a story during the first day of the draft, probably will be for some time. You know, as a Cal guy who's watching this unfold, what do you make of the Rodgers-Packers drama?
It was interesting to follow because this is something that's been brewing, right? I mean, there was some discontent with the previous regime when Mike McCarthy was there. And from time to time, I do text with Aaron. I haven't reached out to him recently just with everything that, you know, that he's going through here. But he has hinted to me before about some issues he's had, not just, for example, with Mike McCarthy, but with the organization. And right now, it just seems to be boiling over, and I wonder if the relationship is repairable. He seems very frustrated and upset. I thought the Packers could have helped him last night, to be honest with you, John, and helped this relationship by going to get a player that could help him, right? They have a need for an offensive lineman with the injury to Bakhtiari, and they didn't go get it, and there was one available on the board. They have never drafted him a wide receiver. The opportunity was there toward the end of the first round to get it. Look, and the corner from Georgia might be a great fit, and he might turn out to be a great player, but for me, it doesn't really mend the relationship and the friction between Aaron Rodgers and the organization. So I just felt that last night Green Bay could have done something to help their cause and extend that olive branch. They didn't do it, and we'll see how this thing plays out, but by all accounts, it doesn't appear that Aaron wants to be back in Green Bay and he wants to go somewhere else.
Your takeaways from the first round, we saw some Pac-12 players go, including Penei Sewell, you know, but what did you leave day one of the draft thinking about?
I think Cincinnati made a horrible mistake at 4, to be honest with you. And I think you tweeted something out that I responded to it in terms of that is a generational miss as far as I'm concerned. Look, and Ja'Marr Chase is a terrific player. Don't get me wrong, but their star quarterback, they're invested so much in Joe Burrow, and he blows out his knee behind a terrible offensive line last year. The best offensive lineman by far in the draft is sitting right there. You could plug Penei Sewell in at left tackle for the next 12 to 15 years possibly, right? He's still 21 years of age. And they passed on him for Joe Burrow's college teammate, and I think it's a colossal mistake to do that. And I think Detroit, they didn't necessarily – need another offensive lineman because they're okay in that regard. They have a lot of areas they need to address. And I thought their offensive line is actually a relative strength for the Lions, to be honest with you. And now they go get an A to play, it looks like right tackle in front of Jared Goff. And I like what the Lions are doing. And I just think that's a big mistake when you have an opportunity to grab somebody like Sewell there at 4, and when it's a definite need for your team and you pass over him, I think it's a big mistake by the Bengals. That's the one where I was really coming away scratching my head last night.
We're talking to Roxy Bernstein, play-by-play broadcaster. You can catch him on ESPN and the Pac-12 Network, the Oakland A's talk show in the Bay Area and on Sirius XM. Also with Bill Walton occasionally. We have Walton on the show, Roxy. What is that experience like?
The best way I can equate it is you're hopping on a bucking bronco and you're just gripping for your life and holding on and hoping at some point that you don't get thrown off the ride, that you can hang in there as long as possible. And I got to tell you, this year is a little bit more challenging because we weren't in the same place. Normally I'm sitting next to him, and I'm not going to say it's easy to corral Bill, and it certainly has its challenges, but when he's sitting in San Diego and I'm in the Bay Area and we're trying to call a game, it is that much tougher to try to get him back on course and to stick to the game. Look, his tangents and what he goes off, and it's incredible the amount of preparation and knowledge that he has. And I do dearly love it. It's a challenge for me every time I sit with him to do a game because I have no idea where it's going to go. He doesn't clue me in. He doesn't clue Dave Pasch in. We have no idea where he's going to take it. And he loves that fact that it's all spontaneous. There is nothing planned out beforehand. And when he says something for the first time on the broadcast, that's the first time we're conversing all day. He doesn't want us to talk pregame. There is no strategy between us. It is, okay, Bill's going to come from this angle. I'm here to try to keep that on track, and let's go do a game for the next 2 hours.
Do you get a producer in your ear going, Roxy, you got to cut him off, or do you just kind of let him do his thing, or how do you get the feel for when it's time to get back to the play-by-play?
Look, sometimes I just have to do it on my own, and there's little tricks that I've learned over the years of working with Bill, how to exactly do that. And look, it's a team effort a lot of times. Tim Sullivan is our producer more times than not on our ESPN broadcast. And Tim and Bill have a great relationship, and he'll listen to the both of us, believe it or not, he does. And a lot of times it's a collaborative effort between the producer and me. And there's tricks along the way. Like, I will throw in, hey, Bill, can I ask you a question about this game? Hey, Bill, what'd you think about that? And just try to steer the course back instead of wondering about how many bridges there are in the city of Portland or the last time you saw the Dead & Company in Portland and what the set list was that night.
Love that.
You got a chance to be around the A's quite a bit. They're having a nice season on top in the American League West. A lot of people here in the Pacific Northwest that would love to see the A's relocate. How big of a talking issue is that in the Bay Area? Because I know, being from there, there's got to be some diehard A's fans that want them going nowhere.
Oh, I think that there's a little bit of concern just because there isn't that clarity on what's going to happen with the ballpark. Dave Cavill, the A's president, has been steadfast from the outset. It's plan A. There is no plan B. And that plan A is to build the ballpark at Howard Terminal. And it appears the last few weeks, there is some momentum now that the city of Oakland, John, as you know, they've lost the Raiders in the recent history and the Warriors who went across the bay to San Francisco. Libby Schaff, the mayor of Oakland, knows there is no possible way she can lose this team. And she is completely on board and in lockstep with what the A's are trying to do. And trying to streamline this as best as she possibly can. There is some opposition from some of the companies down and the Port Authority there in Oakland. And it has been an ongoing battle. But the A's are committed. You know, the Rooted in Oakland sign, I believe their hashtag is a little bit more truth to it. I don't believe they've entertained, whether it's Portland or Vegas, that they're committed to trying to get this thing done in Oakland until I think they've exhausted every option. But the latest round of negotiations and talks, I think, has led some momentum to this project, and there is some real optimism now when I think it was a lot more in question previously.
Roxy, I appreciate you making time for us. I hope to see you in a press box soon and fans back in stadiums in the fall for football. And keep doing what you do. Do a great job.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me on. I look forward to it. Keep our fingers crossed that come the fall, I get up there to either Austin or to Reser, and I'll have a football game, and I'll be able to see you in the press box. That'd be great.
Love it. Roxy Bernstein, Pac-12 Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Roxy Bernstein. And again, yeah, I know he was that kid growing up who had, you know, his parents going, Roxy, go ahead, do your play-by-play. I just keep thinking about him going to Berkeley. Like, we've seen this before. Like, John Morosi with Fox went to Yale. And I know that we've had that conversation before. Like, what did your parents think, you getting that Ivy League education and wanting to be a sports journalist? And it does come back to parents supporting the dreams of their kids, doesn't it? Isn't that always a thing? All right, the 2 o'clock hour, the happy hour is coming up. It's a Friday. It's always especially fun. I want you here for it. Anna will be popping in. We'll take a ton of phone calls in this 2 o'clock hour. You could start lining up at 503-417-7575. Open line Friday, we'll call it today. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. I appreciate everybody out there that makes us part of their day. We'll keep this going. Let's have some fun.
B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground on today's show. We always do. Nothing's scripted out on this show. It's a little like Bill Walton's brain. But we have started the show today by talking about the Blazers and Timbers and Thorns, who are all bracing for the worst, as they are unable to get answers from Oregon Governor Kate Brown and the Oregon Health Authority. talk some about the NFL draft. Really fun draft day, I thought. I thought that the coverage was terrific, depending on where you watched it, too. One of the networks had David Shaw, the Stanford coach, kind of giving his 2 cents on all the picks. So that was fascinating. ABC went a little more human interest, showing like a lot of vignettes on the draft picks. I thought that was really clever. If you just wanted the nuts and bolts, you had the NFL Network or you had an ESPN broadcast. It was really cool. I thought that the broadcasts for the NFL draft were terrific. And that they did a really good job doing it. We talked some about a 12-year-old who graduated high school and college on the same day. I'm against that. I don't think you should graduate from high school and college on the same day. You're missing the experience. Plus, you're 12. At 12, you should be playing video games, skateboarding, building a treehouse. Too much pressure, man. I have a talk with that kid's parents. We've also talked about, you've heard clips from the best audio cuts that our staff has compiled. If you missed any of this, grab a podcast of the show. Roxy Bernstein was with us last hour as well. Really good interview with a broadcaster who is very versatile. Like, I think Roxy is super versatile in that he's calling baseball, football, basketball. And I can remember, like, I was young journalist in the Bay Area. I was working at my first newspaper. It's 5,000 circulation daily paper. But one of the bonuses that we got is we got credentialed to the 49ers and the Raiders games. And so as a bonus, you work your butt off all week, and then you get to go cover the NFL game on Sunday. And I can remember going up and being in the press box and being looking over at, like, all the journalists who were working for all the big papers and kind of being a little bit shy about talking to anybody, looking and going, oh my gosh, there's Ray Ratto of the Chronicle, and oh gosh, there's Mark Purdy of the San Jose Mercury News, and wow, there's Scott Osler, works in San Francisco at the newspaper, and looking around going, I read these people, Ira Miller, and but I didn't talk to anybody. I just kept my head down, kind of went, sat in my seat, covered the game. Later, I went on to the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and it was the same thing. We had a seat in the press box. One writer could go up and go to the games. And then, lo and behold, like a decade later, after I had gone and covered, Indiana basketball and Notre Dame football, I got a chance to be hired by the San Jose Mercury News, which, like, this is when it became a real thing. My beat was the NFL. My beat was being in that press box. I was supposed to be at the Raider games and Niner games, and that's what I did. And I can remember seeing Roxy Bernstein, who must have been, like, in college still. He's 20, looked like he was 10. And he would come into the press box, and he was wearing a sport coat that was probably his dad's sport coat or whatever. And I thought, who is this young guy? Because I was the young guy. And lo and behold, Roxy was, you know, just trying to live his dream. He was going to Cal as a student and trying to become a play-by-play broadcaster. And we got a chance to visit with him in the last segment. Now he's calling games all over the place. He's got he does ESPN radio. He does ESPN. He does the Pac-12 network. I love his answer too when I said, what's your favorite thing to call? And he says, whoever's paying his check.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.